Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and our study is a construction site tour, the tabernacle in the wilderness. In this session, we'll be looking at Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. Better a door than a window. We're going to actually do a quick review here from the previous session, and we will periodically do a review of some sort in most of the sessions, just so we can keep everything right there before us as we picture this this tabernacle being constructed and what it looks like in its finished product. The tabernacle was an image, only an image, of the heavenly tabernacle. It was for its purpose of teaching the new relationship with God. But it was only a picture. But it was actually three pictures. And let's look at those three pictures in review here for a moment in the wilderness tabernacle. First, the tabernacle is a picture of Jesus Christ. It's a type. It's a shadow. He dwelt, or he tabernacled among us. It's the place where God meets man. The place where deity and humanity meet in one person. John chapter 1, verse 14, the first part of it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Every last detail we're going to see as we go through this study over these next 15, 16 days. Every detail of the wilderness tabernacle pointed to the person and the work of our Savior and Lord. Second, the tabernacle is a picture of the believer in Christ. There were three parts to the tabernacle. There was the courtyard that was surrounded by these curtains. And then there was the tent inside the courtyard. The first part of the tent, the holy place, and then there was the part behind a veil separating from the holy place, the Holy of Holies. There are also three parts of the believer. As persons, we, as God's creation, we have a body which pictures the court, which is the visible part of us. The place of sacrifice, the place of cleansing. Then there's the soul, the holy place. It's the non-visible part of us. No one can see it from outside the court, but they can experience it to a certain degree. Our mind feeding on the table of bread, our will walking by the lampstand light, and our emotions pictured in the altar incense of prayer. Worship and fellowship with other believers there in the holy place. And then there's the spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. And that's the Holy of Holies, the hidden part of us that no one experiences except us and God. It's communion with God in spiritual victory. So there's the tabernacle is a picture of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of the believer in Christ. And it's the tabernacle is a picture of the salvation plan. A complete look at the life of a believer in seven steps. From outside the door of the fellowship of the Holy, from outside the door to the fellowship of the Holy of Holies. There's the gate, the door, and the altar. Sinners enter by the door and stop at the cross of Calvary. There's the laver, which is separation and daily cleansing. There's the table of showbread inside the tent, the first part, which is the fellowship of the Word. There's the lampstand, where we walk by the light of truth. And then there's the incense altar, with the power in prayer. And then behind the veil in the Holy of Holies, we enjoy inner spiritual life. And then there's the ark, which is a perfect rest and peace at the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, under the shadow, the wings of the cherubim. Let's read our text for today. Exodus chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show you, that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it." God's instructions: collect materials from the people, build a sanctuary, and follow the pattern. What was the purpose of the tabernacle? Well, look at verse 8 again. "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." It was a perfect building. It was never improved upon. Chapters 35 to 40 of Exodus give us the details. Think about it. From raw materials to a structure of beauty. In Christ, we're the same. Raw materials formed into a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. Have you ever watched a building go up from just broken ground to a finished structure? I mean, it's amazing to watch all the detail and all the activity and all the work that takes all those materials that are delivered, and they're all put together, and then as the building goes up, and then finally you see a finished structure. It's quite a sight to watch. Day by day, moment by moment, from raw materials to finished structure. The wilderness tabernacle was more than a sanctuary of God. Every detail of that sanctuary pointed to Jesus Christ, His character, and His redemptive work. It was not a large structure. The whole complex would comfortably fit on one of today's football fields. There was a fenced courtyard that was 75 feet wide by 150 feet long, and the courtyard was formed by 7.5 feet high curtains, so you couldn't see over the curtains. The east side of the enclosure had a 30-foot wide entrance gate, also made of curtains. It faced to the east, pointing to Jesus Christ, the rising Sun of righteousness. The court contained an altar, a laver, and a tent for meeting. The tent was 15 feet wide and 45 feet long. And it was 15 feet high, with two separated chambers. The holy place, which was 15 feet wide by 30 feet long and 15 feet high. And there was the Holy of Holies, which was a perfect 15-foot cube. The furnishings, besides the altar and the laver, outside in the courtyard, there was included inside the holy place, a table on the north side, this is facing east, a table on the north side, a lampstand on the south side, and an altar for incense in between and toward the rear, near the veil. In the Holy of Holies, behind the separating veil, hid from common view, were the Ark of the Covenants and the mercy seat, which was essentially a cover of the Ark. There were seven pieces of furniture representing the perfection of Jesus Christ. If you picture the arrangements, it forms a cross, a foreshadow of his salvation. Because there's the altar, the laver, then the table of showbread on one side, and the lampstand on the other, and then straight ahead, the incense altar and the Holy of Holies, and the Ark of the Covenant, forming a cross. The walls of the tent were gold-plated boards placed in sockets of silver that they would stand with. Each of them were 2.25 feet by 15 feet high. There were 20 on each long side and 6 of them on the west side, in the back, behind the Holy of Holies. There were gold-plated bars that were in golden loops, which secured the boards so that they would stand up the way they should. And then there were 5 bars that held all of the boards together. 2 on each side and then one in the back. The roof had 4 layers of coverings to make up the roof. Beginning on the inside, there was a layer of white linen embroidered with gold and purple, blue and scarlet. Next, on top of that, was a cloth made of goat's hair. Then there was a covering of ram skins dyed bright red. And then finally, the top and outside layer was the leather of badger skins. Let me ask you, how many people pass by any particular church on each day? Very few of those people who pass by churches on a daily basis, very few of them see and experience the interior of those buildings, of those churches. And why is it? Well, it's because they choose to pass by. Very few experience new life in Christ. And why is that? Because they choose to resist him or reject him or ignore him. Imagine 2 people standing at the tabernacle, a stranger and a priest. What does the stranger outside the fence see? Well, he sees the white linen fence, the curtains, the 7.5-foot curtains, which were above where he could see in. And he would see the leather roof made of badger skins, just dull. He sees none of the beauty inside the tent. All he sees is that white fence, those white curtains making up the fence, and he sees the roof of the tabernacle because it's 7.5 feet high. He can't see in even to the courtyard. What does the priest inside the fence see? Well, he sees all the beautiful architecture of the structure. And like the sinner and the Christian, both see Jesus Christ, but how differently they view him. The sinner outside sees the white linen fence preventing entrance. And he sees the dull-looking badger skin roof. That white linen represents Christ's righteousness. The lost man can see in the Bible his moral teaching, his wisdom, his moral character, his wisdom, and his teachings. But the lost sinner cannot see the true beauty of Christ. His deity, his virgin birth, his atonement for our sins, his precious blood, his resurrection, or his return. Look at John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Unless a man is born again spiritually, his only view of Jesus Christ is his perfect humanity, his perfect morality, and his perfect suffering. Nothing more is visible. Outside that white linen fence, the sinner sees the dull badger skin roof, Jesus Christ's humanity. That's what he sees. In fact, Isaiah describes it for us in Isaiah 53 in the second part of verse 2. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 states, "But the natural man, the lost man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us, "Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." To the sinner, Jesus Christ is dull, reflecting all the desert storms of mankind, such as hate and abuse. Is there a way into the tabernacle? Well, yeah, through the gates. And that door leads directly to the altar of sacrifice. The white linen fence of Jesus' righteousness stops the sinner from approaching God by his own goodness, his own morality, his own righteousness. The door of Christ is needed. John chapter 10 and verse 9, and also verse 14, chapter 14, verse 6. John 10:9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture." John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Going through the door, the sinner comes face to face with the altar, representing the cross of atonement for sin, and then the laver of cleansing for forgiveness. After these is entrance to the holy place. Consider for a moment the twofold purpose of the white linen fence. It excludes the sinner except by faith through the door. And it includes the believer in the safety of God's presence. Eternal security. John chapter 10 in verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. It's also the picture of Noah's Ark. When they went inside, who closed the door? Did Noah and his sons pull it closed? No. God shut the door. God kept them safe inside that ark. And God keeps every believer safe to eternal life. Well, let me just ask you this question. Have you come through the door? If not, you can only observe and admire Jesus Christ's perfection. Or just be religious. You must come as a sinner and receive the blood by faith. You have a great day.